Do you have any doubts about your decision?
No. I don't have any doubts at all.
Would you like to sleep on it a little longer? Or are you ready to make this decision?
No, I've slept enough, or the lack of sleep.
You still a nail biter?
I have a little bit, not of late.
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing. The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Welcome into DVD. This is the 15th anniversary of The Decision. The Decision.
Mm-hmm. The Decision.
It's so weird. That's a pretty common that we make decisions every day, right? But if you Google The Decision, one thing pops up. It's really interesting how that term is so iconic. LeBron James leaving Cleveland to go to Miami and doing it in a really unique, goofy, whatever, odd, and it created such a buzz. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in the next couple segments. But Derek, where were you the day of the decision by LeBron? Because I know exactly where I was.
Oh, man, where was I? It was the off season, so.
Were you watching?
Yeah, I was watching on television just like everybody else. More than likely, I was at home watching everybody else, watching with everybody else. You know, when LeBron decided to, as he coined it, take his talents to South Beach. And ironically, that phrase, he should have trademarked that phrase because that phrase has been used, you know, by other NBA players, high school players. You see it a lot, high school players, NFL players in free agency. You know, so that phrase that he said that one night has now been sort of the catchphrase for
right. People joke about it.
Especially the kids that were signing letters of intent
Coming
out of high school to college. They use it, seemed like everybody was using it then. So, but yeah, I was at home. When that decision was made, you know, my son, he wasn't too happy. He was a LeBron fan. So, you know, being in Cleveland was a little bit closer to watch. But, you know, hey, when he came back to Cleveland, we loved it because he could go to games then. It was a little bit closer.
Yeah, so we know there was a whole saga from that day. And, of course, in that moment, LeBron was absolutely vilified.
Oh, yeah.
By Cleveland. He had all these people burning his jerseys and just heartbroken, all rage, all of those emotions. And now you ask somebody about it now, and they're like, well, it worked out okay. We got the championship in there, right? He came back. But that day was such a big day. And it, to me, signified a player of that magnitude in his sport realizing the leverage that you have. And, you know, the production of it, that was weird. And the
Boys and
the
Girls
Jim Gray part of it, the Boys and Girls Club part of it, it was not executed well. It was lampooned a lot, has been since then.
Yes.
But I remember I was doing a – so for those that can go back on the show, I was just talking to George Plaster about this today. We had the annual charity Charles Davis Radiothon. Charles Davis, of course, grew up in Nashville, played at Vanderbilt, played in the NBA, and had a foundation for kids, and we would do a radiothon every year for it. And it was right in the middle of it. And we had to debate, are we going to stop the radiothon? Like, we're trying to get the phones to ring, people donate, pledging. But that was the one time that we did that where a sports story was big enough that we felt like we had to be mentioning it as it was going down. So that was definitely something I remember about that day. So I would love for people, if you want to join our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, phone and text driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you remember about that? How has your admiration, do you root for LeBron? Did it change when you did that? Because I will say, fully on, I Of course, I have a lot of relatives from Ohio, and so I was hoping he would stay. Mm-hmm. And so I did not root for the Heat. I didn't like the whole loading up of a team, and I rooted against the Heat. And I think I was probably in the majority, right? If you weren't a Heat fan, LeBron took a hit with his adoration at the time. And I think he knew when he came back to Cleveland, he was going to get a lot of that back. And so since then, I think he's regained a lot, right?
Of course he
has. But those years of the Heat, man, that was the team you wanted to see lose.
Yeah, because it wasn't that Cav fans, I think now can, you know, they can feel good about, okay, I don't hate him now that he left and went to the Heat because we got our championship, like you said, Willie. We got our championship. But also you look at that that time, you know, I don't even think, you know, was Twitter really exploding back then?
No.
Not really.
No.
I don't think LeBron up until that point had a Twitter account or something
Yeah. I don't remember there being any social media.
No, there was no social media and no, you know, every hour on an hour, every second on a second, there was, you know, up-to-date news as far as Twitter. Now,
it was all the anticipation of the telecast that was going to come on ESPN, right, and televise the decision.
Exactly. So, but what I think what that did, and, you know, you may see it good or bad, you know, that's not what I'm trying to sort of accomplish here. But I think it did sort of usher in the era of, you know, this player empowerment, the players deciding where I want to go, where I want to take, as LeBron said, my talent. And it crossed over. It wasn't just a basketball thing. It crossed over and it started to spill into football, baseball, other sports. It started to spill over where guys, you know, mainly, I wouldn't say as much in hockey, but you saw it in other sports where it was like, you know, I'm gonna hold this grandioso sort of press conference and then decide that, okay, this is where I'm going. LeBron set all of that off, whether it be good or bad. You know, there became this marketing sort of push for other players to do it. You know, ESPN started to pick it up more. Other Fox sports stations started to pick it up when guys, and it became so prevalent, especially in high school, that then once Twitter started to explode, you saw this everywhere.
I think it's more pronounced in basketball because one player can tip the scales so much in a basketball game. And I do think it started an era in the NBA of trying to find a way to get the big three together. And players started realizing, hey, I could do what LeBron did.
Boston started it first.
They did.
But it wasn't. They didn't have the name. They had some really good players all going to Boston with Paul Pierce being there already. You had Kevin Garnett. You had what's the shooter?
Ray Allen
going there.
And then they already had Rondo.
Yeah. They already had Rondo. So that was the original sort of big three, but they didn't have the LeBron James name attached to them.
Yeah, that was a creative move by Danny Ainge, who was the GM, that definitely started a trend.
Yes.
They'd say, because it was hard to do what they did. People were like, how did they pull that off with the salary cap and all of that? But I think LeBron was the first player to start to say, I'm putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. And also intertwined in this is, and I don't know how much he thought that part of it through, but the whole LeBron versus Michael debate that will always be part of the fun lingo,
It didn't douse the flames at all. It did
not at all. And he did win with the Heat, but Michael Jordan people will always say Jordan stayed. It's more valuable, it's more meaningful if you stay with the team that drafted you as they build around you and you win. And that's what was heartbreaking. It didn't seem quite as meaningful because he left and he joined forces with the big three there with Dwayne Wade and Bosch. You know, and that's a great debate. Is Bosch really a big three guy? He was pretty good.
He was
at the
a double-double.
He was really good.
He was a good player.
But it was a loaded team. And so you have a little bit of a boost if you do it the way that Jordan did it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, because they figure that, okay, you sort of did it the homegrown way.
Mm-hmm.
Scottie Pippen was a draft pick to go with Jordan many years ago. You had other guys, B.J. Armstrong, even though was he on that first Jordan? Yeah, he was on the first Jordan championship.
B.J.
Armstrong was a draft pick of the Chicago Bulls.
So they built together.
So they built it together.
It took a while.
Exactly.
They climbed the mountains year by year.
But that second champion, that second run, that's when they brought in the Dennis Rodmans and the Ron Harpers.
Right, they turned over most of the roster.
Exactly, absolutely. So that's why I think when they start discussing that topic in particular, Jordan will always sort of get the nudge as far as the whole, because he did it with a team that was put together mainly by draft picks the first time.
Yeah.
And those draft picks helped on the second three-peat too, Scottie Pippen, because BJ wasn't on that second three-peat stage of Michael's career. So, but the way LeBron did it ushered in, you know, the way other players start to look at it, especially from a basketball standpoint. And even, would you even say, Willie, that not only did it become sort of prevalent amongst superstar players, but you started to see GMs trying to form their own big three, you know, mm-hmm. at least in basketball. They're trying to form their own big three because they know, well, if that team has their big three, we got to find a way to put together our big three.
Yeah, kind of like the 76ers.
Exactly, absolutely.
Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, those
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, I think there was a copycat mm-hmm. aspect. And I think now with analytics and innovation, there is a better sense of you don't have to do it that way. You can build differently. There's more ways to win mm-hmm. now, which was great, which I think has made the league very compelling. There's more parity now than there was. It used to be just a race of which five or six teams could get the big three, and then you knew you were going to be in it every year. If you had LeBron, you knew the Heat was going to be in there. The Warriors mm-hmm. ended up with their kind of version of it with Steph. But it became very difficult for anybody else to get in there. Like, all the other teams were like, well, we can't get to that. We don't have a big three, so we got to tank or hope that we win the lottery, that kind of thing.
You know what it forced the league to do?
Innovate.
It forced them to understand that we need at least three guys on our team to have a legitimate shot at winning a championship, because every five games, one guy has to pick up for the other. Or mm-hmm. if I'm not having a good quarter, at least we had this guy or these two guys that can pick up the slack. No longer can you have one guy and then just a bunch of just mediocre. Even the Golden State Warriors, they had Klay, Draymond, and Steph. Steph was the head. Well, Draymond was really the head right there because he controlled a lot of what they do it.
Sure.
But it doesn't take – I'm not saying that he was a better player than Steph, but everything ran through Draymond. Exactly, offensively and defensively.
Yeah,
so when you have three guys like that, you can the slack can be, you know, sort of picked up by the other two if one guy's not on. But if you don't at least have three guys, it's hard to consistently win.
And if you're just joining the conversation, we just had somebody on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com going, why are you guys talking about LeBron? Well, today is the 15th anniversary of the decision. So we're talking about how it's affected sports since then and the player empowerment. Now, I don't think anybody really leveraged it quite the way LeBron did prior to LeBron. Can you think of anybody?
Prior? Well, Michael, sort of, kind of. Those that I'm talking about the second three-peat when he was only signing 1 year deals
right
with Chicago.
Yep, he definitely
to make sure they brought in guys that could help him win. So he used it,
and then that's the Last Dance talks a lot about that.
Yeah.
He thought that they would buckle mm-hmm. and keep Phil Jackson, keep Scottie Pippen, mm-hmm. and they didn't do it.
No,
and they completely sunk to the bottom. Immediately after that. That is that's a pretty compelling thing. So you're right to a point, but what do you think, like, I think we look at Kevin Durant mm-hmm. as a guy who's bounced around, but he's used his player empowerment to sort of dictate where he wants to go. It hasn't been as fruitful as it has for LeBron, who went to Miami for two, went back to Cleveland, mm-hmm. then went to L.A., and he's compiled championships that way.
Here's the thing with Kevin Durant, excuse me. As great as Kevin Durant is, he's not LeBron when he's making everybody else great around him. So when LeBron or Michael Jordan, you know, use their leverage, it benefits the whole team because they're going to make those other guys better. Like, they're mm-hmm. just going to make the team better. We see it. As good as Kevin Durant is, that's the knock on him. Like, he doesn't
Doesn't make everybody better.
Exactly. So he has that empowerment that was first given. You know, let's say it, you know, for what it is. LeBron gave today's player the ability to call his or her own shot if you have that ability.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking of other examples in mm-hmm. sports. Would you say that Aaron Rodgers has, to some degree, and it's the thing about LeBron's decision was that it was in the prime of his career.
Yes.
He was right in the prime. Aaron Rodgers was past his prime, but he still sort of leveraged his player empowerment, right?
He had it. He had it, but it wasn't to LeBron's status, but he still had it. But he messed it up. Because of sort of these other antics, if he had the personality of Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, he undoubtedly would have been the LeBron James if he had their personality.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, I'm not going to be in Green Bay. I can call my shot with any team, and there would have been teams on board, even the teams that probably really didn't need him. But they figured if we had them, we're going to win the championship. They would have been there too. But because of the personality and attitude, there are a lot of teams like, no, we don't want to deal with it.
Right. I can't think of too many NFL players who have had any version of LeBron.
Think the one guy that had the potential outside of the quarterback. I'm taking it outside of the quarterback hands because I think Lamar was close to it. I think Patrick could have, if he really wanted to, you know, press the issue, he could have.
Lamar Jackson, he definitely flirted with
exactly.
it. Right? He did have quite a bit of leverage, and it was quite a debate mm-hmm. going on.
But the NFL,
but it was resolved.
The NFL is the collusion thing.
Yeah.
You know, so the NFL is going to make sure, wink, wink, we're going to, you know, allegedly keep this thing where it needs to be. But outside of the quarterbacks, the one person that I think was probably close to it, I think it was Jefferson. I think Jefferson was the guy that out of Minnesota, he was probably, to me, that one guy that was probably close to that LeBron sort of, because just look at his numbers, man. He shattered every number mm-hmm. a receiver could have had in his first, what has been, 6 years. He shattered every record.
It's harder for a guy in the NFL to do it.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Because to do what LeBron
did. And that's said, outside of a quarterback
you want to get,
people.
You want to get paid well, mm-hmm. and you want to leverage to go to a team that's loaded and can win.
Miles Garrett, possibly.
He tried,
yeah.
But it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. You're right.
Jamar? Could he have been Jamar Chase?
Could he have done it?
The problem is you have to find a team mm-hmm. that is set to win, but also has the salary cap space to take on
your contract. You know why it's harder to do it? I don't know, like, basketball, the contracts, how they're set up and all this other stuff and how you – but because of the franchise tag, it's hard to do it. Even when your contract is up, it's not up because I can franchise tag you.
Yeah.
And it makes it hard for you to maneuver to another team.
Yep, that's a good point.
You know, so that's why I think they should have taken – if I'm players, I'm like, I don't want no franchise tag. After the first year, you can franchise me once. After that, I don't want – you shouldn't be able to do it.
I don't think the players thought that through very mm-hmm. well when that first came up, the whole franchise tag. It probably sounded good to the players on the surface. And now you're kind of wishing it wasn't there. And every collective bargain agreement, they don't fight to get rid of it.
No.
It's still there.
Because it's
so
money.
That's a good point. So when we come back, we're going to talk about a player who I think you can draw parallels to LeBron at the stage of his career, and it's Connor McDavid. Could Connor McDavid do this? I think the answer is yes, and we'll go through the similarities and what's different, and what do you think Connor McDavid will do? Because to do what LeBron did, you are the A-plus number one guy in your sport in your prime.
You're the apex predator.
And you are going, and he was able to go to a team that was loaded to win. And it worked. It worked in his favor for two championships, sacrificing all of the love of Cleveland and all that stuff. There's a price to be paid, but it was successful. Could Connor McDavid do it? I think the answer is yes. Will he do it? There doesn't seem to be much momentum for it, at least now. But could it happen in another year or two? We'll talk about when we come back. But if you have thoughts on this, 615-737-1025. We want to hear from you. Call us, text us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We're talking about the 15th anniversary of The Decision. Yes, Jim Gray. Jim Gray is not going to come on our show today, which is probably a relief to hear. Stay tuned. We're coming back.
But we also know you three kings came down here to win championships. Not one, championships.
Not two.
LeBron, tell us about that.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven. Hey, and when I say that, I really believe it.
LeBron. Yeah, that quote also had legs.
Yeah. It's
memorable.
And it made people hate him even more.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Now, we're talking about the 15th anniversary, the legacy of The Decision that LeBron made. And so now I want to bring it back here. We're back here on DVD, 102.5 The Game. Would love for you to join us on this discussion. 615-737-1025. Because here's what got me thinking about all this. Connor McDavid is in a similar position in hockey as LeBron was back then at that stage of his career. LeBron was playing for a small market team. It was his hometown team in Cleveland. They had won a lot, but it was very clear that they didn't have the horses around him where he would look ahead the next few years and say, can we win it? Can I win it here? And that had to be part of why he decided to leave and make a very tough decision to go. So let's look at Connor McDavid. Now, he's not from Edmonton, but he is Canadian, right? Connor McDavid is the undisputed best player in hockey right now, and it's really not close. And there are a lot of great players in the NHL, but he's the best. LeBron, at the time he made the decision, was 25, and he had played 7 years in the league with Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And like McDavid, they both jumped right in as an 18, 19-year-old player. Connor McDavid has now played 10 years in the league.
Oh, man.
But he's only 20. He's 28. And like LeBron and Cleveland, they've been close. Mm-hmm. But they haven't had, to me, a loaded team that can win it. Now, we know the salary cap rules are different. It's a hard salary cap for Edmonton. But I think Connor McDavid would be silly not to at least ask the question, what are my better chances of winning a cup or two or three or four? I'm not going to go up to seven. But he is 1 year away from free agency. Most people believe he is going to sign some form of an extension to stay with the Oilers. I do think he feels a sense of loyalty. But he wants to win. He, like LeBron, is driven. And what do you always say about Michael Jordan?
He was
Derek,
a competitor.
It's not just the talent.
Yeah.
It's the best of the best.
Drive.
Have the talent and that unreal edge competitively. McDavid's got that.
But don't you? Okay.
What do you do? Like most people, Elliot Friedman on his last podcast, I don't know if you guys asked him on the last interview he had last week with us. But he says, I'm not, quote, worried about it. he's going to re-sign with the Oilers. The question is, how many years? But why wouldn't you walk it up to free agency and do what LeBron did to sort of use the leverage that you have as a player, the player empowerment? Why wouldn't you do that?
Because for this reason, and I could be totally off base about this, because just knowing the little that I know about the hockey culture. One, hell, he's playing with another potential Hall of Famer in Leon Draisaitl. So,
right, but I mean, he's been playing with them.
Yeah, he's been playing with Draisaitl the whole time. So, I mean, you just need one more person if you're trying to get a big three. But they obviously the team's good enough. They've been, you know, they've gotten to a point where they've been on the brink of winning a championship. So it's not like they are a bad team. But like you're saying, just like Cleveland, maybe just maybe because of the influence that you have, not just within your sport but globally. You know, it may allow you, it can allow you, like LeBron, to sort of put together this sort of theatrical, you know, deal where you get to pick, you know, where you want to go. But I think this is, I'm not sure it will go over well, because I think hockey fans, especially Edmonton fans, if he does that, I'm not sure he would ever be allowed back. Well, because I think their fan base is right. Just different. They're different.
It would be tough.
It's like your family. Like, you don't lead a family.
You know, and it is, to a degree, it would be history repeating itself, because Wayne Gretzky was traded.
Wayne was traded.
He was traded. But this was one of the early 30 for 30s. Mm-hmm. It does talk about sort of the dynamics involved that – you know, I think Wayne Gretzky stayed above the fray and was not on the record of, you got to trade me. But beneath the surface, I think he was kind of willing to get traded.
Okay.
But he was never made out to be the bad guy because he was traded and didn't
walk Connor in free agency. Would come out as being the bad guy.
I remember when Shaq walked in free agency in Orlando and how tough that was for Orlando when he went to L.A., right? Because Orlando had a good team.
Yeah.
But McDavid, I think you're right. There's definitely a loyalty that pulls at a player like him. And I'm sure it did for LeBron, but obviously not that much, He did it.
He went where the players were.
But he has the ability to walk up into the last year of his contract and kind of put it out there to his team. You've got to make the decisions. We've got to win. It's number one priority. And if it's not here, I've got to go somewhere else where my chances might be better.
Now tell me, Willie, do they, and this is a reason why I think he can do it. Should he do it? I don't know. But he can do it. They don't have like a franchise tag, do they? Or is it called something else where once your contract expires, you can then hold on to it for another year until you try to work out a contract? Do they have something in place like that?
So his options... on July, he is now eligible to sign an extension. And that's what everybody in Edmonton, I think, is now starting the clock of, let's please get this done this summer so we don't get into the season.
Yeah.
And you know what a lot of players do? Once the season starts, we're not going to talk about contract. That's all he would need to say. And then there would be probably a panic and a wait.
And they're not going to trade him.
And that, I think this is something that McDavid has to weigh is – that does enter into the equation. It'll be a story every day. Hey, have you talked to your agent lately? Have you any more talks about an extension? So a lot of players don't want that weight on their shoulders while the season's going. Because like you said, then all of a sudden it's like, well, if he's not going to sign, should they trade him?
Yeah.
But I don't know that they would, because they are going to feel like they have a chance to win it. They've been very close.
If they trade him, Edmonton will always be the bad guy. Because Connor McDavid will say, in his mind, I'm exercising my rights as a player. I didn't say that I wouldn't sign with Edmonton. I wanted them to do more, but they chose to trade me. So, like Wayne Gretzky, you come off as the good guy. And it's like, I didn't want this, but I wanted to make sure this team was in a position that if I did sign back, that we were going to be able to more than likely win a championship. I think he can do it, but he can only do it if he doesn't. He has to stick to it. If he's made up in his mind, I'm going to force them to do this. I'm not signing another contract this year, and next year we'll worry about next year then. he has the ability to do it, but does he want to? Is that where he want to put his energy?
A lot of people think he's going to sign about a 2-year extension, maybe 3, and then revisit it when he's still got enough in the tank to hold the option open of testing the market when he's, say, 31 or 32. But to me, that would be un-LeBron. That would still be a pretty hefty commitment to Edmonton. Mm. I think you could argue, if you follow hockey, that kind of like LeBron with the Cavs 15 years ago today, he looked on the horizon and said, the teams in the next 2 or 3 years aren't going to be loaded. So am I better off going somewhere else where, and obviously the unique situation with the Heat was unfolding with Pat Riley and all those guys orchestrating it, and the Celtics had already done it. He said, well, this is where I can go. McDavid, I look at the Oilers team. They haven't had the goalie. They're going to have the same goalies next year as they had this year. That's been an Achilles heel that they've had to overcome. Matthias Ekholm's a year older. Yeah, they're going to have Draisaitl, but now Draisaitl is going to make way more money. Mm-hmm. The cap is going up, but he's going to. But so is McDavid's salary and Draisaitl's salary.
Draisaitl said,
they don't
have now.
Young players on the way through. They've mortgaged the future to try to win now. I think if you're unbiased and not an Oiler fan, and you're talking to McDavid and say, take your loyalty away from Edmonton for a second, because I do think that pulls at him. He wants to do it for the team that drafted him. I think in a perfect world. But if you say, hey, man, I don't know if you – it's so much up to you and Draisaitl to have to do everything. Mm-hmm. And I know you've been close, but the team around you is getting weaker. It's not getting stronger.
I think this would happen. Because – and the only reason I'm saying is – and I'm not saying that Connor McDavid is – more popular than LeBron James. That's not what I'm saying, because I'm sure that LeBron James is more popular than Connor McDavid. But because of the time that LeBron was in when he did his, there were a lot of people watching. Everybody tuned in, but you had to watch it. I think with the advent, social media, all this other stuff, it would be a bigger story because of the time we are in.
Yeah.
If Connor McDavid said, you know what, I am not signing with Edmonton, I am going to go into free agency and I'm going to pull a LeBron James, every sports station around will pick up on it. Every
it would
Twitter,
be enormous.
It would be huge.
Yeah. And it would be a countdown. If he really stuck to it,
uh-huh,
and the drama that the league would get, I think it would.
Oh, the
reach
league
into
would love
not,
it.
Yeah, I think the league would love a story like that in some way.
Yeah, even if he does go back to Edmonton.
If he even, you're right. I think that's 100%.
Even if he said, you know what, I'm going to take my talents and keep them here in Edmonton.
Right, which is what every Cavalier fan thought. Hopefully, he was going to do, and then 5 minutes later, they're burning the jerseys.
Exactly.
Right. But that, I mean, just think about the possibilities there. And Dave on our text line says, if Edmonton doesn't somehow add a top-tier goalie, McDavid is gone. Well, they're not going to add a top-tier goalie. They don't have the money. And most teams, if basically all teams, and this again goes to our UC Soros conversation, they're not letting good goalies go these days.
No.
So the best goalie on the market, you tell me. Free agents, they're not out there. So Edmonton is stuck with their guys who are average at best. And they have a lot of cap issues that they're trying to juggle like they have every year. They don't have young talent coming in. McDavid, I think, if I were advising him, what's the best way to win a championship, it would be to play out another year with the Oilers and then see what the market looks like and find a team. The other unique part of this is the cap is going up. And teams are, in another year, should have a little more flexibility, especially if he said this year, I'm not signing an extension.
Oh, man.
Teams would start preparing. Oh, if McDavid hits the market, we got to think about that. How would we be able to make our pitch to McDavid? I think that would That would really be something to do. If his sole purpose is what's the best way
to win a championship,
join up and win a championship, he could dictate everything. And he'd have
Yeah, and that's why I say it would be, from that standpoint, player empowerment standpoint too. Mm-hmm. I think it, because of the day and age we are in, if LeBron could you know, take off 20 years, 15 years of his life and do it now, it would be a humongous story everywhere. I mean, local news, big news, anyway. I think Connor McDavid, if that does happen, it will get to that point where he's the most talked about individual in sports because of who he is. He's the apex predator in hockey, mm-hmm. and the global influence from that standpoint that he has.
Mm-hmm. And I think he would reach another – if he went to a market like New York, mm-hmm. or L.A. or Chicago, God forbid it be Chicago. Please don't even think about that. But you would reach a section of sports fans in mm-hmm. general that would pay more attention because of the drama of it, yes. all, that to hockey than ever had before. People still to this day talk about what Wayne Gretzky did for the game, mm-hmm. going to L.A. There were a lot of people that didn't pay much attention to hockey. Maybe they did a little bit, but he got a new level of fan, the celebrity part of it, mm-hmm. and it helped the league as a whole. Most people think there wouldn't be a Nashville Predators, there wouldn't be teams in Florida, mm-hmm. in the Sun Belt, if that trade hadn't happened. I think McDavid, it wouldn't be on that level, but I think he could get the league to another level of viewership if he went from Edmonton, yeah. to a big, big market.
Yeah, in the States. Yeah. But listen, the NHL could only cross their fingers and hope that this happens.
Right.
No, I'm serious. And even if he goes back to Edmonton, they can only wish. And if I'm Gary Bettman, in the backgrounds, I'm thinking like, okay, the big play. I'm looking at the long play here. We probably need to try to make this happen. Not necessarily, yeah. him leaving, but the thought of Connor McDavid coming to your city,
yeah.
to play. That, man, that
create
would
the decision be, part two.
Man, hockey, it would, I mean, hockey
the
would
hockey
have.
Hockey decision.
It would be everywhere. If I'm Gary Bettman, I would be hoping for this.
Yeah.
I would love this.
Oh man, would he ever? And you would have all kinds of discussion of what teams are in the best position, mm-hmm. to bring in somebody like him and have the pieces to win, and you could debate on who that is. You still have to work within a salary cap. Mm-hmm. It would be an amazing story. But I think the bottom line, he shouldn't do it for the league's sake. He should do it for his own sake. And this is nothing against Edmonton, but mm-hmm. I still look at the team going forward. Are his chances of winning a cup getting better or worse year by year? And I don't think they're getting better. Hmm. I think they're getting worse.
So
they're going to have to. I don't know how they're going to do it.
So here's a question for you, Willie. And we can kind of answer it as we're segueing, yeah. out of the show for today. Is there, outside of, because we're talking about Connor McDavid now, is there a player that is in a contract now or potentially that can reshape the way you look at that particular sport? Is there a player out there right now that you say, if their contract just mysteriously like ended today and they had to get a new one, this one player can reshape the landscape of it, of their particular sport? Is there a guy like that?
Yeah.
Now, we talked about Connor McDavid. Yeah. It could happen.
I think like Messi in soccer kind of did it on, mm-hmm. on his level, right? There's probably an occasional soccer player that I couldn't tell you all the guys, but there are soccer players that have, mm-hmm. worldwide, because there's so much money, they have that kind of leverage. But I think here in our sphere, mm-hmm. if you're not talking about global soccer, I think McDavid's positioned as well as anybody, mm-hmm. who could dictate. He's the best player who has the opportunity in another year to pick his team. And most people think he's not going to do it, that he's loyal enough to stay with the Oilers. I think it's a pretty unique story. So we thought today, on the anniversary of the decision, I don't think McDavid is – he would not sit
down
with
Jeff – I would love for McDavid
he
to
would
do
not
that.
Sit down with Jim Gray.
He'd sit down with Elliot
Friedman. Are you
sure? I don't think he would do that. He's a little wired a little bit different. And I still wonder if LeBron today would go back and say, yeah, that was a little rich. I probably should have done it a little differently.
Have he talked – I know he's spoken about it.
He probably has.
And I think he may have said he probably would have did some things different. I don't know. But I honestly looked at it. I didn't see much wrong he did outside of like, man, you're holding Cleveland captive, man. It's like, man, they won a championship so bad, and you're just, you know, you're leaving. Everybody, it was like LeBron's leaving. He's not staying. That's the only part. But outside of that, I mean, I thought he brought, you know, awareness to the Boys and Girls Club, and he ultimately went where he thought he can have the biggest impact, and he did.
Will from Nashville on our text line said, I lived in Cleveland when the decision came down. I really thought there would be a riot after that. And there wasn't a riot, but there were plenty
of
clips, local news of people doing some pretty crazy stuff.
They were upset, boy.
And one other texter says, maximum chaos, said Adam Thingenturm. McDavid to Calgary. Okay. Arch rival of the Oilers. I don't know about that.
I don't think he could do that. I don't think he could do that.
All right, when we come back, we'll have our final segment, and we will pass the baton here on this July afternoon. Stay tuned. You'll listen to DVD. Coming down the home stretch here on DVD, D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Adam Vingan had to head out just a little bit early today. We were talking about Connor McDavid, and could he be the decision part two, the hockey decision? Could he do what LeBron did 15 years ago today, if he wanted to? And just play out and have all of the leverage, the best player in the world in his sport who could go and dictate where he wanted to go like LeBron did. And David James, I got to give him credit on this, the ultimate chaos, the Adam Vingan Award, would be for him to...
I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
And Connor McDavid goes to Florida and plays for the Panthers, the team that has beaten his team in the last two Stanley Cup Finals. But I don't think that's going to happen, but you know what? You never know.
It could be the chaos. It would just be the theater of it would be great.
Oh yeah, and you can't help but ask the question here in this city. The Predators do have an enormous amount of salary cap space that they would have next summer because they're still paying Matt Duchene a pretty good chunk right now that they have to pay the tab on. They're still paying Kyle Turris. Yes, they're still playing. It's not quite Bobby Bonilla, but Kyle Turris is like the Nashville version of Bobby Bonilla to some extent. But that said, they have a lot of expiring contracts this year, even though a lot of people are like, well, they've got all these contracts, all these veterans. Really, if you take a look, they have a lot of flexibility. I do think, just like any other team would, if this somehow presented itself, that they would throw their hat in the ring big time to try to go get him. I don't know if they could convince him. And they could. What they would sell, I think, would be, we've got the goalie, unlike your former team.
Yes.
We have a lot of young players who are about to become relevant, we think. You know, the farm system we've been hearing about that still aren't there. But at the end of this coming season, they would be of age where they might make a pretty good set of complimentary guys. And those guys, when they're young, are cheap.
Now, who contracts will come off the books?
Well, the guys who come off the books are a lot of the role players right now. And they just traded a couple of them. But I'll pull it up real quick.
Because I think that would sort of determine,
It would create a lot of
exactly.
space. The contracts that the players in the last year of their contract, Michael Bunting. Eric Halla, Cole Smith, Fedor Svechkov, who I would presume they would keep for a cheap price. Michael McCarron is another guy that I think could be an attractive fourth-line center that they could trade at the deadline if they didn't want him, or keep him for a pretty inexpensive price. Justin Barron, Nick Blankenberg. So they've got the flexibility.
Because
and there's not too much money tied up, especially with the cap going up. The contracts like Forsberg and Stamkos – and Marchessault at 5.5 and O'Reilly at 4.5. That's not a ton of money that is being just scooped up, especially with the cap going up.
Yeah, if indeed it got to that point.
And this now, is a total
this
hypothetical.
This is hypothetical, yeah. People. This is hypothetical.
The
hypothetical.
Hockey decision.
Yeah. We're allowed to have it.
The hockey decision.
Come on,
in
July
8th. Of
July 9th.
It being, you know, 15 years since
the dream.
LeBron, since the decision by LeBron James to leave Cleveland and take his talents to South Beach, we're trying to create sort of that same thing with Connor McDavid because he has 2 years left this year and next year left on his contract, and he would be the most sought-after free agent since Shohei Ohtani. You know, really since Shohei Ohtani.
Ohtani definitely was in the ballpark.
Exactly.
He had a lot of leverage, and he jumped in there. So I don't know. He certainly didn't do it with the fanfare that LeBron did, but he was that type of impact player. And, of course, the Dodgers came up with a creative way of selling him with the deferred money and all of that.
So if Nashville, because the good part about it is you wouldn't have to give up anything to get him. You would just have to pay him. In theory, you would just have to pay him.
And that brings
could
up
they
another,
do that and would they do that if the opportunity? They need to. If the opportunity presented itself, why wouldn't you? You have to throw out an offer. You have to.
You've got
to
get into the game.
Yeah.
All right. That'll do it for us today.
So I'm giving Predator fans hope.
McDavid will be a Predator 2026, 27.
So you're telling me there's
says
a chance.
It's done. It's a done deal.
Yes.
All right. Stillman and Company. Jared is on vacation, but we've got, again, the capable hands of our crew is ready to go. They are ready to go. We're passing the baton.
Ready to roll.
Who we got back there? Jake, Connor.
And Parker.
Right.
The three amigos.
The three amigos. Who Adam said earlier
isn't
this week
that
have
three
an average age of 16 and a half.
Isn't that three?
It's actually 17 and a half.
That's three of the Forest Company, right? It's three of them.
Two.
Oh, it's only two of them?
Yeah, only two of them.
Because Parker's not a he's not that cool yet.
He's not that cool yet. He's not that level yet.
He's going to be that new character they introduce on the sitcom.
Exactly.
He walks in the door. He's like, what's up, guys?
All right, we're back at you tomorrow.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Wednesday. Peace.